Just to get you in the mood.
It's funnier because I can't see you, so I had no preparation.
All right, well, let's see how bad this leg gets.
Oh, man, I was gonna
Sorry. Well, at least now we know that the leg is not very bad.
This is gonna be shenanigans.
Cedar Sinai. Shifty work into the box. And across. It's in. Oh, it's LaRue. It's a dream return.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Casual FC, an Angel City preview pod. I'm your host, Angela Morales, with my invisible co-host, Mario Salazar.
It's not my fault. The internet is being really weird, or my Wi-Fi is being weird, something. So I have to turn off my camera and turn off all this other stuff just to be like, it's like when the power goes out and then, or when you don't have a charger for your phone and you're like, okay, turn off Bluetooth, turn off Wi-Fi, screen all the way. Like you're trying to do every little thing to, yeah.
Yep.
That's basically
close
where
all
I'm
my
at.
Apps.
Yep. That's basically where I'm at with my internet right now. So yeah.
Yeah, so this is really fun. I can only hear him. I cannot see him, but he can see me and he can hear me. So we'll see how this goes.
Actually, can no longer see you because it told me to turn off incoming video. So
we're doing great over here, guys. I'm also running on about 3.5, maybe 4 hours of sleep, if I'm being generous. But it's Monday night. We all know that I'm crazy and have the longest day ever on purpose. But we're back. Our girls are back. And this is the match preview for Angel City coming up on Friday, May 3rd against the Utah Royals at America First Field in Sandy, Utah at 6:30 p.m. Pacific. The game will be broadcast on NWSL Plus and locally here in Los Angeles on Bally Sports. If you are unable to watch or just don't feel like it and you want to tune into the radio broadcast, make sure you download the iHeartRadio app and search Angel City FC so that you can listen to Isaac and Tracy all over the place. There's a couple watch parties as well. If you are out in Covina at SoFive, how do you say this?
I think it's SoFive.
SoFive. I think it is SoFive because I got confused when they said it in the stadium. It's SoFive. We're leaving this weird thing in because it's funny. But yeah, if you're out in Covina, you can go to the SoFive location there, or in Rancho Cucamonga, their other location. These are the watch parties hosted by Angel City. The party will kick off at 5:30 and the game will kick off an hour later at 6:30. So go hang out, get some Angel City swag, hang out with friends, get some food, drinks, whatever they have there. I don't know. Enjoy it. I will be watching it probably at Eva's.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what we're going to do.
Yeah. Watching it from home. Watching it.
Yeah.
Drum roll, everyone. When this episode comes out on Wednesday, it is Angela's birthday.
So for those of you guys who don't know me, I absolutely love my birthday. I'm not one of those people that's, oh no, I don't like to acknowledge my birthday because it means I'm getting older. I'm over here. I'm still alive. You haven't gotten rid of me yet.
Another
but also
year.
It's a, exactly. Honestly, after the last couple of years, yeah, that's where I'm at. But very, really, truly, I absolutely love my birthday. It is a fantastic day in the world. And I tell people this and they think I'm crazy. It's the official start of spring if you are of a witchy, moon vibey way. Beltane is celebrated all over Europe as like the start of spring and the start of new life. And it's really cool. There's festivals all over the place. That's what May Day is branched off from. But it's also the International Day of the labor or like International Labor Day and like workers' rights and the International Day of Protest. And so, yeah, go stick up for yourself, which I feel like to some degree, the big world events that have happened on our birthdays or whatever influence us. It sounds so woo, but I'm going someplace. I am not one to stand by in the face of injustice or wrongdoing. And I feel like that's very indicative of my birthday. And I love it. And that's all. I just like my birthday. Yes.
We are both May babies here. And we basically bookend the month of May. We've got Angela at the beginning. And then we've got myself at the end. And I just found out and posted about it that we share a birthday month. I don't know exactly when her birthday is, but with the incredible Marta and with Janthony, John Anthony, one of our listeners who messages up. Yep. He messaged and said, hey, I'm a May baby too. And I'm like, woo. So happy birthday to all the Mays out there. We're getting our month started. And woo-woo. Hopefully
happy early Mother's Day. We're going to have episodes anyway. But happy early Mother's Day. Happy early birthday to my mom also. May is busy.
At Memorial Day, all that Memorial Day weekend for some people who do the entire weekend.
I know.
So enjoy it. If you listen to the pod on Wednesday when this comes out, tag Angela, celebrate her birthday. Celebrate it. Whenever you actually listen to this, doesn't have to be on the day. It's all good. I'm gonna say I'm not one of those that's birthday month. No, it's a birthday. Give me the day. But I'm not gonna.
The only reason I am is because I have to share it with my mom. I get a week and then it's Mother's Day and then I get another week and then it's her birthday. I get 4 days to really live it up.
To live it up. So happy birthday to Angela when this drops. Happy birthday to all the May babies throughout the month of May. Hopefully we've got a handful of matches in May and all of that good going and good joy and good feelings brings us some wins with a team. Because of course that's what we're listening. That's what we're here for. That's what we're listening for.
Yeah.
Moving on with our Chaos Award for Match Day 6. We both wrote two different Chaos Awards. I am awarding Stoppage Time. So there were some crazy Stoppage Time heroics that happened this weekend. One of them being us being scored on. I don't want to talk about that right now. And then the other match that I was watching was the Gotham Racing match, where it was 0-0 the entire match. And then in stoppage time at the very end, the second half stoppage time, 90 plus 5 Racing scores, and then 90 plus 7 Gotham scores, and then the game ends tied. So
it's insane.
It was a crazy weekend. I don't doubt there was probably some other crazy shenanigans, but those were the two games that I was able to catch. So yeah, that was my Chaos Award for the week.
Yeah, mine goes to red cards, like the one given to A-Rod over the weekend, and also cancer.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Toni Presley was diagnosed with her second bout of cancer, but the Orlando Pride, which is the team Toni played on, and she was in the NWSL. The Pride announced today that Luana was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. And she started chemo, so she's on the SCI list, which means she's still considered part of the team and can use team resources, which is fantastic. It's wild to me that this has happened twice for Pride players, but also like they're so connected with a hospital that it meant early screening and like a better prognosis, and it just really freaking bums me out.
Yeah, cancer's That's not all. Fun for anything.
No.
And much love and hope and everything going out to Luana and anybody just facing this. It's not something you ever wish on anyone, even your own worst enemy type thing. It's one of those
Absolutely
things
not.
if there was ever a way to get rid of it, we would definitely get rid of it. Yeah.
And as a little PSA, if anybody is out there and needs help with anything, needs resources, check out the American Cancer Society at cancer.org. I've been affiliated with them for close to 20 years now when my grandma and my cousin were first diagnosed. They have a 24-hour hotline. They have all kinds of services, like services to take you to your doctor's appointments, to your treatments. There's all kinds of things. If any of you have any questions about it, please just hit us up. I am more than willing to talk about it, help anybody out, whatever. But it can be a very lonely journey as caretakers, as patients, as everybody in between. So,
yeah
with that note...
With that note, roundabout for the ears.
Yeah, so here's what happened over the weekend. Sorry, I just had to put the PSA out there because it's a super important cause for me.
It is super important, and thank you for putting that out there. And just in general, if anything's ever going on, reach out to loved ones, reach out to friends. People aren't as intuitive as you might think, so...
or they're scared to ask for help.
Yes. Yeah. So it's never a bad time to ask for help for anything. Mm-hmm. Even if it's reaching out to a complete stranger. We're all here for each other. We're all good people, and you're never alone. Always know that the helping hand is always there wherever you are. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah.
Quick roundabout, right? Roundabout scores.
Let's go. Yeah. Back to high energy. So much fun. Over the weekend, the league went a little bonkers. Like we said, stoppage time, crazy goals, red cards, shenanigans. But the overall score lines weren't crazy. It wasn't last a week. Few weeks ago where everybody had 5 goals. Like it wasn't like that. Orlando beat the Spirit 3-2. The Courage beat Seattle Reign 1-0. Portland won a game.
Sophia another Smith one, their second brace. One.
Yeah. Portland beat Chicago, which is crazy, 2-0. Utah and Houston came out with the draw at 0. The Wave. I was trying to think of a good joke, or I don't know. Never mind. But the Wave beat Bay FC 2-1. Gotham and Racine were a draw at 1-1. And we played as well.
Yes, we did play as well. But I don't want to make it seem like it's as bad as saying you played as well. It was an amazing match. It honestly was. It was a great match. We played the Kansas City Current again, which seems like back-to-back. It's like they followed us on the plane back from Kansas City, and we just decided to play again. This time we played at BMO. The result did not go in our favor. We lost 3-1. DiBernardo scored in the 54th minute for Kansas City. And Lavoisier scored in the 90 and then again in the 90+3. Like 3 minutes late. We'll talk about it.
Yep.
But our dear Claire Emsley hitting a banger on that. At the 34th minute, it was amazing. She was already in the top 5 for the Golden Boot race. She is now number 3, I believe.
3 or 4. Yeah. I don't know how it shook out after the whole weekend. But
yeah,
I also want to say we held them scoreless until the 54th minute. That we held them scoreless for the longest amount of time this season so far.
Exactly. This was the latest score that Kansas City has had all season long, which means we're doing some good stuff. We
held it down.
I got a text from Angela like 15, 20 minutes into the game. Hey, can you look up when what's the longest they've taken to score? And then a couple minutes later, you don't have to look it up right now. It's okay. I'm like,
I was like, don't do it right now. Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it. I sent that text and immediately went, oh no. No, I didn't mean to do this right now. I just meant in general. What? How long What's the longest they've gone without scoring in a game? Like, trying to be so casual.
Yeah, you should have just told me don't look it up to jinx it, but I did look it up.
I know.
Because I was at home. The longest they took to score before this match was 44 minutes. And it took them 54. But yeah, so.
Honestly, and I think I might make a couple people mad. A lot of people. I don't know. I'm fine with the scoreline. I wish it didn't happen, but I expected this.
Yes. Okay, so we were playing the number one team in the league. They are undefeated. Mm-hmm. They are goals on goals. We were going up the toughest opponent we were going to have, essentially, this season. And right back-to-back, especially when they were, like, they're just cooking, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that we scored on them and the fact that we held them off till the second half to have them score is a huge win in that sense. Mm-hmm. So I text Angela at the end of the match. I was like, okay, here's my quick analysis before I forget. First half, ACFC was cooking. They were just on all cylinders. Use whatever euphemism you want of being on lock for the first half. And to continue my cooking analogy, the second half, it felt like someone burnt their hand and then got a little timid at the stove afterwards. Because there was a clear kind of difference between that first half and second half. The second half, it almost did feel like we, like they were gassed, like they were running and then the subs that came in, Messiah coming in, still doesn't look 100%. So like, she was still like a half step slow. So
I'm just curious, and Doug brought this up in our thoughts and feelings thing. So I'm going to skip ahead and then jump back. But we, instead of playing to win, we played for a tie and brought all of our defense in and then fell apart. We subbed out almost everybody on offense, brought in more defenders, and then melted down in the last 10 minutes. But there was so much good soccer played before those the last like little bit of the game, which is such a bummer. Because it's being overshadowed.
Yeah, it was a great game. Don't get us wrong. It was a great game. Unfortunately, there's times where things don't go your way or things fall apart. That's what happened in those last kind of 10 minutes. If we could have got out of there with a 1-1, we definitely would have won, right?
Absolutely.
But just you know? That's the way the ball bounces, the way the cookie crumbles, whatever you want to say that. But we do have, beyond the, like we were saying earlier, beyond the great performance that these women had in the first half and most of the rest of the game, Emsley in that race, she is on a different level this year. She is focused, and let's just keep feeding that. Let's make sure we keep feeding her and we keep getting her on that boot race, and let's get her because Claire is cooking.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then there was a post on Twitter from Melanie at Melanie Jordan _ that just mentioned, just would like to shout out to Claire Emsley, tied last year's top goal scoring for ACFC this is written a lot of different ways. Basically, last year's top scorer was McCaskill, I believe, with 4. Like, we didn't have the greatest scoring last year. And the scoring record was 6 for McCaskill in 2022. And Claire's already at 4 with only 6 games into the season. Let's keep the pace. Let's keep going.
Absolutely. I think what happened, and I saw a quote from Vlatko after the game. He said that they weren't prepared for us to come back or to come out in such a defensive formation. And it threw off their game plan, which is solid and so good. It was very apparent watching the game that it was like, hold the line. If we can score, sick. Don't let them. And then they adjusted to that at halftime, and we didn't adjust as quickly.
Like, I sent this message to M. Woods recently, and she even talked about it on her podcast, but the fact that I sent it to her, but there's a lot of people that, especially when they're new to soccer and are like, what, you can tie. We've talked about this whole idea of being, yes, you can tie in soccer, and people feeling that's weird or that's not. But the way I was explaining it is really, it's think about it this way. In every other American sport, you play till there's a winner. You extend the amount of time you've been playing till there's a winner. You go into overtime. You go into double overtime.
Yep.
You go into whatever. Or the innings just keep going and you're playing at midnight or 1 a.m.
Yep.
You know?
1 in the morning.
Exactly. Until there's a winner. In soccer, you've got 90
minutes. People's legs would fall off.
Yeah. One, given the size of the field. But two, you got 90 minutes and that's it. You do your best. If your best was tying, then that was your best. That's it. Yes, there's add a little edit, extra time, but that's basically to try to make up for any lost time in the middle. You're playing 90 minutes in general. And if your best is keeping the other team at bay and keeping that score tied, that in itself takes a ton of work.
Yeah.
So a tie is still a very good result. There are.
Which is why you get a point.
Yes, that's why you get a point. There's definitely results where you feel like the tie is a win. And then there's definitely results where you feel like that tie was a loss. Right.
Yeah.
But either way,
if we had held them to just one goal, immediate win. That's fine with me.
Yes. But so that's the way that's the way I look at it. And the tie would have been so great, but that's not what happened. If listening to our pod, we're very much, I would say, the vibes and feels thing, right? We can see a little bit of the formation or the tactic, but we're not going to go super in depth in it, mainly because I can't. But
that's for Panda and Nina.
Yeah, that's for Panda and Nita to do the complete breakdown.
That's for the Angel City chicks.
And they do a great breakdown. And if you're interested in reading in a lot of the kind of technical detail, we just got a message from a new listener. They go by the handle GooseCat Analytics. We'll tag them on a post or on a story. But they do a breakdown from like the analytics side of each match, and I was just reading the breakdown of this match, and I'm like, yes, exactly what I saw. XG, I don't know what that means, but keep going. So I felt like there was a lot of good information there. If you are the X's and O's type person, maybe go give GooseCat a read. It's pretty in depth for me, or for
it's a very in depth breakdown. It's really cool.
Yeah. So shout out to you, and keep writing them. We'll keep reading them. So as we do, we have our thoughts and feelings. We were on a high the last game, a little bit on a low this game. So why don't you take us away?
All right. Seth said we had a beautiful night at BMO until the end. Emotional roller coaster emoji. Loving the Thompson-Emsley connection, which I completely agree. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later. But our girl is getting, little by little, those yips are getting shaken off. Gabby said, feeling okay. It was all theirs to lose in the end, and they went up against a really strong team, which is true. This game was Kansas City's to lose and ours to hold on. And we did what we were supposed to do. We just have to close it out. Nicholas has two happy face emojis, three super smiley happy face emojis, one nervous sweaty emoji, one face melting emoji, crying emoji, sad emoji, and then just okay emoji. Basically,
and we feel you.
My entire emotions during this game. I woke up sore the next day because I realized the whole game I was just like clenching my fists. Like, all my muscles were just, like, clenched, just, like, holding on. Eva and my mom were just like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I'm nervous.
I'm just gonna copy paste Nicholas' comment as one of this episode goes out. Just be like, yep, this was the 90 minutes.
Yeah. This is what it felt like. Jeff sent 2 crying emojis, but there's a lot of good to take away. New formation, Emsley, grit, finishing games, big priority, which yes to all of that. Mirna said it was a really tough loss, but they played really well. Just need to play the full 90. Yes. Elise, 4 crying emojis. I feel you. Yeah. KL, who I got to meet at the game.
Oh, I forgot
all of my stickers and playing cards in the car. Still went and hung out. They have cool friends. I owe them.
That's awesome.
But KL said, I was today years old when I discovered the plant-based food stand at BMO. And then a little shruggy emoji. Yeah.
Leppies, which, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan sent 5 exclamation points. Yep. Yessie sent just a deep sigh. And then my buddy Doug sent disappointed at playing for a tie and then getting an L, which that's, yep.
Yeah. Okay. Alma continued on with, we had them. Then a little crying, a little tear emoji. We had them. And then the last 10 minutes, they crumbled. We're our own worst enemy sometimes. And just put 2 sad faces. Ethan has a broken heart. A tale of different halves and different tactics. And then just melty face.
Lots of melty faces this week.
Katie, still in mourning from Paige. Grief has no timeline. Don't judge me. And then put 3 side
aren't
face.
Aren't we all? Like,
yes. 3 side face, crying, laughing emojis. Honestly, yes. Grief has no timeline. So it is what it is. I did post up and tagged Paige with her debut with Houston. I was like, oh, that shade of pink looks a little off. And she liked it. She knew the sentiment behind it. Yeah. Jasmine, L on the field, but a dub in La Fortaleza.
They were going hard all night.
They needed to go
hard. They were mostly a rowdy bunch.
They bring it all the time. And so it's always great to have La Fortaleza. There's the times where we have the rest of the stadium joining in with the chants is electrifying. And I just always feel like it needs to happen more. And I think La Fortaleza is just making that more and more apparent. So definitely a dub for them. Veronica said, sad, but also proud because we looked good for most of the 90 minutes. We just need to maintain it. Zach is in his feels. Can we replicate the first half cohesion a bit more? Great goal from Emsley. The ref was blind. Exclamation point. Needed the strongest prescription possible.
And then a red square and a yellow square. Yeah, Zach gave them red cards and yellow cards, which I also agree. There were some things that were not called or brushed off and it was like, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. This weekend was a weekend of questionable refereeing across sports. Basketball, soccer, European soccer, baseball. Wild, wild things I saw.
Yeah. Aaron came in with devastated exclamation point, but also really glad to see some of the combination work the team has put together. Yes, like I said, they were cooking that first half. Kind of seemed like they got a little timid. They were still doing well, but there was like a step lost there. And Sandy came in with just a sad face with the end, but then starstruck with the moments of exciting play, the Thompson and Emsley, and just the shots. Yeah. Jamie came in with emotionally drained, but physically I'm doing amazing. And I am happy for you, Jamie. I am glad that you're physically doing amazing because that was an emotional roller coaster.
And Jamie was a capo in La Fortaleza.
Yeah. So whenever she says physically doing amazing, like those 90, that's good. those 90 minutes, like she's doing a lot. So yeah. Mariana came in with just, which I have to give it like the emphasis that I read it in because of the number of U's and G's and H's. And then Timothy just sent us a crying emoji. That was it. So we feel y'all. I don't think anyone's ever given us like a weird hot take.
No.
Which is great. It means that we're all basically on the same page. And I think we're all still behind the team. Like, that's the main thing is that, like we said, we're ride or die. We're going to be here no matter what. Good, yeah. Bad, indifferent. Like, it doesn't, we're going to be here. And then we're going to be hyping up the team. You're allowed to be upset, disappointed.
Yeah. And there's a difference between being disappointed and knowing that your team can and will play better and being disappointed and giving up on your team. And I think we're all still in that. We're still putting it together.
Yeah. So after that result and after all the other results, we are now in 9th place. Not too bad. We only dropped to, we're sandwiched between what I like to call the San Andreas Cup teams, which San Diego is just above us, tied on points, but they're beating us because of goal differential. And Bay is behind us by 1 point. They're at 6 points. It's still a toss-up. The spread is getting huge. Kansas is at 16 now. Yeah, they're going to start running away with this thing pretty quickly if things don't change. So far, Kansas City, Orlando Pride, and Racing Louisville are all still undefeated teams this season.
Yeah.
The other teams just have
Racing,
more ties.
This is the part, yeah, I was going to say, this is the part of soccer that I think is elusive because it's, oh, they should be the top three. But like you said, Racing has won one game and has 5 draws. So sure, they're undefeated, but they also aren't winning.
Yeah, they aren't winning. But like we just said, a tie, keeping that team, that other team to a tie, is a feat on its own and deserves that 1 point. But you deserve something. So, yeah. And then Seattle, through 6 games, 3 points.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, our favorite Allison Gale, our favorite on Twitter that we like to pull up her infographics and stats and stuff. I was like, we haven't talked about her great infographic of being able to see week by week the way things have been shifting. And honestly, agale137 on Twitter, go look her up. It's amazing just content for women's sports in general. But the wild movement up and down between all the teams is really impressive when you see it in this kind of linear fashion. And something she tweeted out last week, which still actually holds true right now, is the NWSL rankings after 5 weeks, we're now after 6, but like I said, still holds true, aren't exactly what everyone predicted. Only 2 of the 2023 playoff teams are on the top half of the table, and then KC leading the charge. Portland and the Courage are the only 2 playoff teams from last year that are on the top half in the top 7. So that's insane. No, yeah. Like Seattle being one of those teams that was in the playoffs and was in the final.
Yeah, was in the final. But you have to remember they lost half their team to Gotham.
Yeah.
But Gotham's not doing so hot either.
But they're not doing so
like, hot. Saddled with all kinds of injuries. They are unwell.
It is wild times on the NWSL standings, but you know what? All we can do is put this game behind us and keep an eye forward. And so let's talk about our next opponent. Where are our ladies flying to?
Our Angels are landing in Utah this week to play the Royals at America First Field. This is super exciting because, one, Utah gets their team back, which is like Utah Royals 2.0, because the original Utah Royals are Kansas City, which is weird, but okay. But the greater part of this is that A-Rod is back in the league coaching, and she is like, there's something so special about sports when players come back as coaches, especially players who have had such a big impact on the game, on the lore of the NWSL. Like, there is an infamous scuffle between her and Sonnet years ago. Like, there's so much. A-Rod comes with an entourage of a backstory. There's so much that I would be talking for another half an hour if I'm not careful. But to have a leader on the pitch come back to lead a team is just, it's so special. It's so cool. It makes me really happy. But yeah, Utah is an interesting situation. Place. Place in general. Yeah. But there's a little bit of controversy right now. I'm sure there will be supporter group statements this weekend as well, because they played America's First Field. America's First is a bank in Utah that has very strong likeness to that of a, I don't know how to say this politically correctly. So the America First term has been rooted in mega racism, hateful ideology, fascism. It can be tracked back to early Nazi history here in America. It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And there's discussion/historical evidence from what I've seen that the bank initially was founded on those ideals, which sucks. The eagle that the bank uses as their logo is also very adjacent to the same groups. And I'm trying to dance around this, and I'm just like, it's bad, y'all. I've talked about it so much, but I'm watching the animated X-Men series for the first time, and it is very much post. It's, if you are a child of the 80s and grew up in the 90s, you were like inundated with, we will not do World War II again. This is very never again. We don't do this. This is bad. We are going to teach you why Nazis are bad forever and ever. Amen. The visual, like the eagle that America First Bank uses is the same eagle that is on a lot of white supremacist stuff, which sucks. But it's very confusing. Paraphernalia, thank you. That's the word I've been trying to find this whole time. So there's a lot of struggle within the fan base, within NWSL fans as a whole. The governor and the bank are just like, calm down, it's not that big of a deal. But there's a lot of parallels. So people are like, hold on. Soccer is for everyone, and these images don't depict that. Like, it's very much being like, you're saying one thing and doing another, of that vibe. So be that what it may, I think it sucks for the team because their sponsors aren't their decision. It's also very difficult balancing that between my own experiences in Utah. There's a city called Dixie, and that's not great. And it goes right along with that. And that was my experience in Utah outside of Zion. So it's a very difficult thing for me to just be like, oh, that's just a big mistake. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's hard. Again, this is a sport. This is a business. Its sponsorships are going to happen. There's pretty much no say from the players because they're going to play.
And no athletes really have say in that.
Yeah. And I mean, there's, yeah, it's, they renamed the stadium. So it's one of these things where it's like because the stadium was renamed to America's mm-hmm. First Field from Rio Tinto, it almost gave them like first dibs at being the sponsor for the team.
Yeah.
And so they took it. And yeah, there's just, it's, on the one hand, I do see where it's like trying to yell at a bank to be like, change your name, it's problematic. is like a weird but valid request, right?
When it, I don't know, and this is just me, but if something I am branding myself with is being linked historically, on purpose or not, to a very bad situation or bad group of people or people who are willingly want to inflict harm on another group of people who are just trying to survive, no thanks. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a very difficult situation right now for the team and fan base and players and I think it's hard just because it contradicts so much of what the women's soccer community stands for and stands on. And
it's a very, when you're trying to speak to the teams, I doubt that there was any kind of, you have to take the America First as your sponsorship for your front of kit sponsorship. You could have another one. You can't do anything about the name to the stadium. Like,
right,
like, is what it is. Like, the stadium is owned by someone else. But for your own team, like, there's times where you very clearly see the profit mindset over sometimes what, it's not always a black and white decision, right?
'Cause yeah.
Was there an option two? Maybe there wasn't an option two. Maybe the,
you know. Exactly.
Especially with the team coming back as being a brand new team. Like,
yeah,
you might not have had an option two because nobody else wanted to take the risk of a brand new team or a reestablished team in Utah. So it's a difficult situation. Hopefully the right things will prevail moving on to the future. But yeah.
Yeah, it's complicated, guys. And it's okay to have complicated feelings about it, because it's hard when it's just a bank, but at the same time, you're like, it's not just the bank. It's the whole thing. But anyway, the Utah Royals have fantastic players on their team. They're not having a solid super, the way San Diego just came out of the gate and ran the table their first season. They've got the Angel City struggle vibe that we had our first season. But some of the cool stuff is that during the draft and during like trades and all the things that were happening to get this team established, A-Rod and her coaching staff in the front office worked really hard to get players who wanted to come back to Utah, whether they played at BYU or they were on the Royals and then obviously were, you know, moved around in the dissolution draft. And that, like, they worked hard to get people to come home. And Michelle Vasconcelos, which is very difficult for me to say because I keep wanting to say Vasconcelos. There's no U. And the letters are wrong. It's Vasconcelos. She was part of the original Royals team before they moved. She played for BYU, and now she's back in Utah. Which, whatever my feelings are about Utah, that's dope. That'd be like, you play in California, you're from California, your team dissolves, you go somewhere else. There's a new California team and you're back in your hometown. That's just cool, regardless.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's also
being essentially the homegrown or the local kid, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very good. She's very much a playmaker. She's a forward, so obviously, but it's so different when you play for your home crowd. It's the same thing like with Alyssa and Giselle and Allie Riley and all the players that like played in LA. Like Sid played at UCLA. We have so many ties to Los Angeles on our team. And it's so different when you're playing for your hometown or a place that feels like home for you. So I'm very excited to see her play, because I think there's a different vibrancy that comes with that, like, homer vibe. But she's number 7. She'll be by our keeper being a menace, I'm so sure. The next player is Paige Monahan, who they picked up from Louisville by way of, or picked up from Gotham by way of Louisville because she was there for a season, but played the majority of her career in Gotham. And that trade to Louisville was like, whoa, first of all. But then to go to Utah was another whoa for Eva and I. She is their captain. She's also a forward, number four. Forward. Yeah, just another threat, another menace. And for somebody who spent the time in Gotham before the rebrand, before they are now like, go Bats. Like, I have so much respect for anyone who spent time on Sky Blue and then Gotham and every iteration of Western New York Flash, like all of the East Coast teams that have had many an iteration over the last decade. But Paige will be there leading their team. The funny thing is when I was writing my notes, I kept writing Paige Nielsen and I was like, no, not yet. That's for next week. Take a deep breath. And then last person I have to watch out for is Madison Pogarsh. She played the majority of her career in Portland, was on San Diego until this trade. I believe they picked her up in the draft, if I remember correctly, like the expansion draft. But she's a solid defender. She just holds the line. It's one of those where she's just steady. And I think I've realized doing this podcast, I forget how hard it is to talk about certain players who are just solid and steady. And they don't make a lot of noise. They just come and do their job and do it very well and do it very quietly. Yes. Yeah. They're solid. They're reliable. They don't make a lot of noise. They don't get a lot of credit. But they're the reason why you're able to win. They're that last line of defense. They're there to shut down another team's offense. I don't know how this game's going to go. I'm very curious because I feel like we could come out and score a million goals or not. I don't know. I genuinely have no clue.
Yeah, like you said, Utah is not doing so great being the new kids on the block. They're down in 13th place. One win,
they've
one
also
tie,
had a
one,
couple
four losses.
They've had a couple SEIs that took out a good amount, like a couple of their like more prolific scorers and like big game changers. So I think that's part of the reason. I mean, we're Angel City fans. We know nothing about that. What are you talking about? No,
we've
season
been
ending injuries?
Perfect.
No. But yeah, I think that's a big part of it is that they've had to rework around who's left, what their strengths are, figure those out, rework the game plan, all of that. So I think it's a very good chance that we could possibly make up some of the goal differential, and I'm really hoping for that.
Yeah, hopefully. That means the players to keep an eye out for are going to be Madison, defender, number 16. We've got Paige, forward, number 4. And then we've got Michelle, forward, number 7.
All right. And we've reached the point of the season where Angela realized that she should have only been doing 2 players an episode because there's only so many people on the team. And last season, we only did half the season.
I didn't want a harsher mellow. I was like, you're on a roll. You were like writing things. There was one script where you were like, I'm going to talk about 4 players because it's our podcast. I was like, yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then I deleted it because I was like, no, that's too many. We're going long. I'll take that off. But so this episode, we're only going to talk about 2. We'll probably only talk about 2 from here on out unless it's something crazy. But it's Thompson time. I feel like we should cue a Thompson Twins song, but I don't know if any of our listeners would even know who they are. Some of them would.
Oh, we'll do the sister song.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. But I don't know if we how do we get rights to these things? I don't know.
There.
All right. So like I said, it's Thompson time. I'm going to start with Giselle. She's the younger sister. She's fresh out the gate. She's our defensive phenom. Giselle is coming off the IL. She played a few minutes this last game against Kansas City, and she came in hot. After the first game, she had a lower leg injury, ankle sprain. I'm not really sure what happened. In soccer, it's like hockey. It's like leg, arm. Okay. Sure. They have these body parts. Yes. But she comes into the game as a super sub with so much energy. And I have to remind myself, she's 18. Of course she has so much energy. I had so much energy at 18. I don't have that now, but that's
fine. No, I don't anymore, no. But yes, she has that young person energy. Oh, God, we sound like man yells at the clouds. So old.
Just shaking my fist at the sky. But in the words of Ari Chambers, she's got energy, all caps, lots of Y's. And if you don't follow Ari Chambers, you need to. We'll tag her in something eventually. She's super great, follows all women's sports, just recently made a transition from Bleacher Report to ESPN. So expect to see her all over the place. But Giselle comes in and immediately makes an impact. She did it that first game, and she did it on Friday against Kansas City. She came in, and it was when we were making the switch from a more offensive-minded goal to defensive and hold the line. Yeah. And almost scored.
She came in for her sister, right? Like, her and Alyssa swapped. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but then she almost scored. So, I don't know. I have a feeling, like her sister, they can play everywhere. Because Alyssa has been showing the F up on defense. That's for later. But don't be surprised if you see Giselle score this season. She's absolutely fearless. And I think it's allowing the little bits of minutes she's getting, they're allowing her to shake that newness off, get the reps in, but not in a way that's overwhelming. So I'm really excited to see what she's going to do as the season progresses and as she starts to play more. I do wonder if she'll end up missing her prom and graduation like her sister did, because it really just depends on the schedule.
Yeah.
And Alyssa, she is still so freaking good. She comes into the game and there's just a different vibe around the way she plays this season than she has the last season and even her tenure with the national team. We've talked about her possibly having the yips or just being nervous, like something isn't connecting, I think, for her. And I really think that the connection she has with Claire right now and the assisting that she's doing, playmaking, yeah, and allowing a defender to come off of Claire or come off of Sid or someone else because they know that she's dangerous is so helpful for the team right now. Even if she isn't scoring, she is still a threat, and everybody knows that. And I really think she's getting close to that first goal. It almost happened on Friday. She was so close. And you can see those nerves that we saw the first few games slowly like wearing off and becoming less heavy for her. She's going to get there real soon. And it really wouldn't surprise me if it's this weekend, because she's there. And it's really interesting watching Sid LaRue try to help her in that sense, try to set plays up so Sid can get the ball and pass it to Alyssa and she can score. And being that veteran of, okay, I know what that feels like. We're going to fix this, and we're going to fix this in real time. And it's really cool to see, because she's being helped by everyone. It's not just, she's struggling, whatever. We're just going to let her struggle. No, the whole team is okay. If you're not going to score, pass me the ball. Get me open, pass me the ball, boom. I'm so excited to watch her grow and watch her mature as a player, because she's so smart. Both of their soccer IQs are bonkers. 1 million on the soccer IQ count. And yeah, you go from Alyssa being the number one draft pick. Her sister doesn't even enter the draft because we signed her early. And it's, oh, okay. And I mentioned it a few episodes that I was somewhere and met their dad. It's all their family. There's so much built-in support. There's so much like consideration, I think is a good way to put it, of time and energy and what needs to happen. Like he was saying how he was, I'm going to cry. Jeez. Freaking sports, man. I haven't cried in 2 episodes, but part of it is that takes a village. The way like raising a kid or having a family of any kind takes a village of people to support the parents and to support the kids. The same thing goes when you're an athlete. he was like, yeah, we're so proud of them. Are you so excited? And I was like, what about you? Aren't you proud of yourselves? Like, you guys did this. Like, you're the one who drove them to practice and drove them to games and paid for the things before it was sponsored. And he was like, oh, you get it. And I was like, oh, yeah. So I hope we can run into them again soon. Super cool. And just, man, we're lucky to have these girls on the team, especially because they stayed so close to home. And yeah, it's good. It's good. Alyssa's still cooking. She's still working out the kinks. She'll be fine. I'm not worried about this team. I'm very still convinced. I'm very still convinced. Wow. I'm still very convinced that we'll make the playoffs and that we'll win a game in the playoffs. Like, this is all just cohesion and working out the kinks and figuring out the right combinations at the right time. But yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah. So shout out to Mr. Thompson and the Thompson family. Y'all did amazing with these two, and we're so lucky to have both of them. And if you're not familiar, Alyssa is our forward, number 21. Giselle is a defender, number 20. You will see them all over the pitch, though, both up and down.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get a match where both of them are on the field, too. I think we did get
absolutely
one, right? Yeah, the very first one.
No, they subbed out for – Alyssa subbed out when Giselle was coming in the first game, and then they subbed Giselle in for Alyssa. Mm. They haven't played yet. It's coming. That it's coming. First connection of Giselle dispossessing and passing it up to her sister is going to make – I hope it happens in BMO. And I hope the goal is scored in BMO when that happens, because it will go insane. It there's no lid on the place, and it would still blow it off. It's just
Yeah.
It's going to be so good. And the first goal Alyssa scores is going to blow everybody away. Like, it's just, it's coming, and it's good. I can feel it in my bones. But history between these two teams, there is none.
They're brand new.
So this is, clean slate for both teams, really. There's no, like, precedence, even for the fan base. It's not like you're a Utah fan that is, oh, I hate the rain, or, oh, I hate Portland, or this is our rivals. Like, you, we have nothing on you. Like, nobody knows anything.
Yep, this will be the very first trip to Sandy, Utah, so it'll be what it is.
Utah's gorgeous, though. That's the thing. It's so pretty.
I hope they enjoy the views while they're there or while they fly over. It's all good.
And if you haven't seen the view from the stadium, gorgeous. Like, they pan out at the games, and there's just, like, the Rocky Mountains. Okay, no big deal. It's fine. Just snow. Anyway, go ahead. Take us home, Mario.
All right. So, thank you for listening. Reminder, our next match will be Friday, May 3rd. It's the Utah Royals versus Angel City FC at America First Field in Sandy, Utah. The game's going to be at 6:30 p.m. It's going to be broadcast on NWSL Plus and Bally Sports locally. So over the air will be Bally Sports. Streaming will be NWSL Plus. Remember, that is free. Just go get your app loaded and your sign up, your login ready, and we're ready to go. Hear it on the radio with iHeartRadio. Listen to Isaac and Tracy. I literally did what I tell everybody to do. I synced Isaac and Tracy to the TV when I was watching from home. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Felt like I was there. And then watch party. Angel City has an official watch party. Party starts at 5:30, and it's going to be at the two SoFive locations in Covina and Rancho Cucamonga, and the kickoff will be at 6:30. So go check out one of the watch parties or one of the many watch parties from the SGs that will probably be happening. We will be reposting all of those, every single one we see, so keep an eye out for all of those things. So if you made it this far in this long episode, you probably like what you're hearing. Hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening, or check out casualfc.com for all the pod links. If someone just sent you a link and you were listening to this, click there. It'll show you everywhere we have our pod. And always, we appreciate every single bit of support all of you have given us. And the best ways to support best free way to support is to share or comment on one of our posts on an episode, specifically on our episodes on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It's all about engagement, people, and it's free. It takes you like a second after you've listened, and it helps us and it helps other people find it because algorithms and stuff. Or if you'd like to also help us out by buying some merch, you can check out our merch at shop.casualfc.com. Lots of fun, silly ideas in there, and we know we're saying there'll be more to come. Believe me, there will be more to come. Just, yeah, it will be there. We've got a whole season to go. And if you feel so inclined and you want to help support the pod by buying us a coffee, you can check out our link on all our socials or go to buymeacoffee.com/casualfcpod. It makes us so happy when people go to that link and send a few bucks to us. It's like, you don't know, like it can be $1 or it can be $5. It just puts a giant smile. Like Angela and I will text each other and be like, someone gave us $1. Believe me.
Yeah. It goes somebody a long gave way. Us $10. Yeah. We really appreciate it. It's just, that's just doing something out of the kindness of your heart to help some strangers talk on the internet.
Yeah. And like, we don't have enough content to do some Patreon thing, but then we don't really see why we would do anything behind a paywall. We're doing this out of the fun and kindness of our hearts and for the fun of the game, and so we really appreciate it when you guys support us. And then follow our socials on all of the available platforms out there. Casual FC Pod on all of them. We did a good job in researching our name and had to add pod to it, but that means we got all of them. So follow us on all of those and you'll get updates mostly on Instagram. And then again, tell a friend about the pod. It brings us good luck every time you share it or you talk to someone. And if you want stickers, we have tons of stickers that we will gladly give you a stack of if you want to be like, hey, friends, here's something cool to listen to. Hit us up. We will always freely give them out. Find us at the games and... yeah, here we go into May, into birthday month, into the first match in Sandy, Utah. Let's get those wins.
Yeah, let's effing go.
All right, everyone. Hope you enjoy the match and can't wait to see you guys next time at BMO. Bye.
See ya.